Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
To begin today, I want those of you on this side to just shout out one word what 2023 was like. One word. And then you, on this side, be thinking of one word of what you're hoping for in 2024. Okay? All right, this side. What was 2023 like?
Blessing.
Blessing. We'll go with that one. What was that? Blessing? Excellent? Exciting?
Busy?
Fun? Ooh, I like that one.
Complicated.
Complicated. Challenging. Okay, 2023, not bad. All right, but we're going to say goodbye to you, and we're going to look to 2024. Now, there's not as many of you on this side, so you're going to have to really, really give me some good stuff. One word, what are you hoping for in 2024?
Relief.
Relief. Peace.
My word, yep.
Amen.
Revival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Renewal. I love that.
Yeah.
Rejuvenation.
Again.
Amen. Hope. Amen.
Reunification.
Amen. Good words. You know, we sang about the faithfulness of God. Let's begin by singing, Great is Thy Faithfulness, because as we reflect on this last day of the year, I just keep going back to God's faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto Heavenly Father, as we just reflect on this past year and look forward to the new year, this theme of faithfulness keeps coming up, not only in scriptures, but as a testimony in our own lives and in the life of our church. And so, Father, we do sing of your faithfulness, and we hold on to your faithfulness. It has been a rough year for some. It's been a good year for others, but through it all, you are faithful, and we hold on to you. So thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, and help us to approach this new year with boldness and courage, not cowering in fear, but forging ahead, knowing that you are already there and you've gone before us. You're paving the way. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Well, 2024 is a leap year, so we get an extra day. So what that means to me is we get 366 days of celebrating God's goodness and faithfulness. And my prayer, as I pray for the little kids, but as for you as well, is that 2024 will be a good year for all of us. But one of the things I've been thinking about is, what's going to keep us grounded in this new year? What's going to keep us strong and focused and firm and devoted and steadfast? And I keep coming back to prayer. As we are grounded in prayer, that's what's going to keep us formidable. And so I want to begin a series today called Formidable, Grounded in Prayer. Because we all have weak spots. And we need to be aware of those weak spots. And one of the things prayer does is strengthens our weak spots. So a couple of nights ago, I slept weird on my wrist. Have you ever done that? And I woke up and it was an excruciating pain. I've done it before, but this last time was just really bad. It's a little bit better now. You know, it still hurts a little bit. But I got to thinking, you know, we have weak spots. Our ankles are weak. Our wrists tend to be weak. And so I just need to be extra careful and probably, you know, do some muscle exercises on my wrist so that doesn't happen again. By the way, I do have a note from the doctor that exempts me from putting away Christmas ornaments and the Christmas decorations. So, no, I'm kidding. I'll do my part to take down the Christmas. But we have weak spots in our joints, in our lives, in our bodies. And we have to be aware of those so that they don't burden us down and become a hindrance. And in our lives, in our spiritual lives, we have weak spots as well. And one of the things prayer does is keeps us strong and helps us avoid the pitfalls of some of those weak areas in our lives. The other thing that prayer does, and there's, again, many things that prayer does, but one of the main things that prayer does and will help us in this new year is it keeps us in alignment with God. God has His perfect will, His perfect ways, His perfect purposes, and we tend to deviate from that. And prayer will keep us in line and in tune and in alignment with God. A couple days ago, I had tires replaced on our truck. By the way, thank you for those of you who helped pick me up from the tire place and drop me off. But every time I get tires replaced, they always say to me, well, you need to get an alignment. And then I respond back to them, does it really need an alignment? And they do a pretty good job of convincing me that, yes, your car needs an alignment. Otherwise, it's out of alignment, you know, and that can affect the drivability and the tires and all that sort of thing. So I gave in and got an alignment. And that's important for the vehicle to drive properly. And so prayer keeps us in alignment with God because we have a tendency to drift and to get out of alignment. And so we've got to stay focused on God. I want for me to take my prayer discipline to the next level. And I want for you to do that as well. I'm a praying pastor, but I want to take my prayers to the next level. I believe most of you are people of prayer. And so my challenge for you starting today on this last day of the year, as we look forward to the first day of the year tomorrow, is that you take your prayer level to the next level. Now, you may be here today and you may not be a person of prayer at all. You may not even believe in prayer. You may think it's nonsense. And so I want to challenge you, try it. Just dip your toe in the water and just try it. Take it to the next level and see if it works. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, as I believe this passage, these verses will help us get started in building a formidable prayer life. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. And I believe these verses will help us, direct us into how to pray in this new year. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and others. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, because when we do that, we get out of alignment. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight, or He will direct your footsteps. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Oh God, help us to take these versus the heart as we anticipate a new year. May we be known as people of love and faithfulness. Love for you, faithfulness to you. Love for others, faithfulness to others. Help us to be the kind of people here as described in this chapter, people who love your teaching and keep your commands, that we seek to trust you with all of our heart, that we seek not to be wise in our own wisdom, but we seek more of you and your wisdom and your understanding, that we will honor you with the first fruits of our crops, not that we give you the leftovers or not that you become an afterthought, but we put you first with our time, our talents, our treasures, that we give you the best of who we are in this new year. And the promise is that you will bless us in ways we could never imagine. But ultimately, Lord, as we think about being a people of prayer, help us to seek direction and guidance from you in all that we do. And the promise is that you will indeed direct our footsteps. And all God's people said, amen, amen. And so this prayer here that I see in verse 6, in all our ways acknowledge God and he will direct your footsteps. I think that's a great place to start as we end the year and look forward to a new year. As we take our prayer to the next level, whatever level that may be, it's a very simple prayer. It's, God, please direct my path. Direct my footsteps. God, give me direction in this new year. I'm not saying that if you become a person of prayer, that I'm not saying that you're going to be problem-free. As a matter of fact, I'm saying the exact opposite. We know that we're going to face issues in this new year. We know that we're going to face obstacles and difficulties and roadblocks. We know that we're going to face confusing situations, much like this picture here on the screen. I have no doubt that as the year begins, we're going to come across a situation and go, what?
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 How do you pull?
What? God, what do I do? I'm confused, right? In this new year, we're going to need God's guidance, his wisdom, his direction. And so a very simple way to begin is, God, what do I do? Help me. Guide me. Lead me. As I've been thinking about this and this concept of God directing us, I've thought about it in these three terms. We need to be directed to God, because we know that this culture is very good at getting our attention away from that which is most important and the eternal things of God. And so one of our prayers should be, God, keep me constantly directed toward you. May I always face your direction. So we need to be directed to God. We need direction from God. And we need to be directed by God. Why is this so important? At the end of the year, one of the things that I do, and most of us tend to do, is, you know, we tend to evaluate how we did this past year. Did we reach our goals, our new year, our resolutions from the beginning of the year? And we tend to evaluate ourselves. And I think that's good. I think we need to always be in constant evaluation. How am I doing? How's my family? How's the direction of my life? And then we start thinking about goals for the new year. What do I want to accomplish in the new year? How much weight do I need to lose? You know, all that kind of stuff. That's good. And we tend to focus on ourselves, and that's important. But I think what's even more important than that is that we take assessment of who God is. And as we read the scriptures, we read and are reminded that God is holy. God is just. God is righteous. God is loving. God is merciful. God knows what is best for us, and he will never lead us astray. In all the Bible, he has never led anyone astray. As a matter of fact, he's always sought to lead people in the paths of righteousness. And so, yes, it's good for us to evaluate ourselves and where we're at and where we want to go, but I think it's more important to think about the qualities of God. and who it is we are entrusting our very lives to. And that is a good, loving, faithful, gracious God who will never lead us astray. So why would I not entrust my life into His loving hands? Why would I not give Him my family, my finances, my hopes, my dreams, my everything? If God knows what is best for you, and He does, why not just entrust everything to Him? For He will never lead us astray. As the scriptures say, He will make your paths straight. We're the ones that kind of make our paths crooked. He's the one that makes our paths straight. Turn to Psalm 25. This was the prayer of the psalmist. He needed direction in his life. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. We read this. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. What a prayer of direction and seeking God's guidance in this new year. The psalmist knew enough to know that he needed direction from his God. He needed guidance in truth. He needed to be taught. He needed to know the ways of the Lord. And so again, let's begin the year by saying, God, direct my footsteps. Direct my path. Direct my decision-making process. Direct everything about me so that my life is pleasing to you. Since we're in Psalms, turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, it's the longest chapter in the entire Bible. I'm going to read every verse. No, I'm not going to read every verse. I wouldn't do that to you because I know you have New Year's Eve festivities to get to. And some of you are going to be crazy enough to stay up till midnight. Psalm 119, 33, verses 33 through 37. This is the prayer of the psalmist. That would be a good prayer for us as well. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. It's a prayer for direction. Then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. These are beautiful stanzas of prayer asking God for direction. God, direct me, guide me, lead me, show me what I need to give my attention to. There's a pastor in the Midwest who shared this story that I want to share with you about the power of God directing our lives if we are diligent in asking God for direction. And so, as the pastor tells the story, during their midweek study time, they were talking about how God would direct His people in the Old Testament. And after one Wednesday night session where they really discussed this idea of how God was really intent on directing the footsteps of His people, especially in the Old Testament, he says there was one middle-aged man in his group. He says, I'll name him John. He says, one night after they adjourned, John headed for his car. And after having just gotten out of this Bible study, he stopped and he paused and he prayed. He said, God, please direct me and speak to me like you did in the Old Testament. I want to recognize your voice and your direction. And he was sincere and earnest in that prayer. So John gets in his car and he starts to drive home. And then all of a sudden, as he's driving down the road, he feels this strong impression telling him to go to the store and make a purchase. Well, that's strange, he thought. This must be my imagination. And he tried to dismiss it, but that impression just grew deeper and stronger within him. And so as John approached the convenience store, he sensed that he should go inside and purchase some milk. And he struggled to discern whether or not this was, you know, the Lord guiding him and directing him, or something else that he was conjuring up in his head. But he parked and he went inside and he started to walk down the aisle, and he found himself in front of the refrigerated section. And he thought to himself, okay, this is really, really strange. I'm just about to buy some milk with no logical explanation. And oh, by the way, God, you know I don't drink milk. But nonetheless, there was this constant, strong conviction that he was to buy this milk and that it was the right thing to do. So feeling somewhat conflicted, that's exactly what he did. He grabbed the gallon of milk, paid the cashier, and then drove down the street. But his adventure was about to get even more peculiar. As he approached a low-income neighborhood, notorious for its high crime rate, he suddenly felt another strong conviction. Turn right. He thought to himself, you've got to be kidding me. Is this for real? And he had this little internal struggle, but the sense and the urgency within him just grew, and it got stronger. And he said, fine. And so he said, Lord, if this is of you, you will guide me, and I will do what you ask me to do. And so after a couple of turns, in driving down the street, he saw a house, and he felt an impression from the Lord that that's the house. You need to stop in front of that house. Now, the street was dark due to the fact that a couple of the street lights were burned out. But he slowed down, he pulled alongside the curb, he parked his vehicle, and got out and started walking to the door. And that still small voice within him said, John, go to that house, ring the doorbell, and just give them the milk. So he took a deep breath, and he tried to overcome this fear and embarrassment that he thought he was going to have, and he headed to the front door. As soon as he got out of his car, the dog in the backyard started barking, and he thought to himself, oh no. But he headed to the house, and he noticed the uncut grass and the driveway filled with potholes of asphalt. But he got up on the porch, rang the doorbell, and at first no one answered. So he took a deep breath. He said, okay, I'm going to ring the doorbell again. He rang the doorbell. And finally, someone cracked open the door, and he saw that it was a young Hispanic man. And John said to him, listen, I know this sounds completely crazy, but I just purchased this gallon of milk, and I believe that I'm supposed to give it to you. And without saying a word, the young man grabbed the milk, ran down the hallway, started raising his voice in Spanish, and after a few moments, a young woman came to the door, and she had a baby in her arms. And with broken English and with tears streaming down her face, she said, my husband and I could only afford to buy a few grocery items, and we didn't have enough money to buy milk for our baby. Tonight, before you came, we prayed that the Lord would send an angel to us. Then you rang the doorbell, and she looked at him and she said, are you by chance an angel? What a story. Now you may be thinking that's a completely weird story, way out of the ballpark, that doesn't make any sense. But I think we can discern through Scripture that this story was indeed a true story guided by God. Because this man earnestly prayed, God, I want my life to be directed by you. If you could direct your people back then, why can you not direct us today? And not only that, his motives were pure. He wasn't seeking selfish gain. He really wanted his life to be used of God. And God honored his prayer and directed him to be a blessing to someone else. I believe that this prayer for us to start the new year is a profound one. Lord, direct me. Direct my life.
I need to be directed to you, Lord. I need direction from God, and I want to be directed by God. So if we want to be strong in this new year, unwavering in our faith, solid in our walk with God, I believe we should begin the year by praying, God, direct my footsteps. Guide my life. And so you can pray this for your life. You can pray this for your relationships. God, what relationships do I need to build in this new year? Because as you and I both know, a good relationship can make your year. A bad relationship can break your year. So God, what relationships do I need to cultivate in this new year? Pray this for your finances. God, direct me with my finances. I don't talk much about money, and I probably should. But we need to handle our finances as directed by God. Because far too often, too many of us don't really consult God with what we are to do with the money that He gives us. So God, how could I leverage my finances to best glorify You and to be a blessing to others? And then you can pray this for your family. God, direct my family. How do You want to use my family to be a blessing to You and to be a blessing to others? But here's the thing. If we're going to be formidable in our prayers, we've got to go boldly before the throne of grace, and we've got to do so with confidence, knowing that the God who revealed Himself in the Scriptures is the very same God who's here today, and He has the perfect plan for you. You've got to believe that God knows what He's doing, and He's got the perfect plan for you. And to end this morning, I want you to look at this saying. Be so confident in God's plan that you don't even get upset when things don't go your way. Be so confident in God's direction and plan and purpose for your life that you don't even break a sweat if things don't go your way, because you know that God has a better way.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.